Wednesday morning to you all. It's the 6th of March. Joining us this morning, live and in person, Mr. Steve Madrone.
Yes, good morning.
Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
Oh, well, I think we probably have a couple of things we can talk about today, huh?
Yeah, congrats to everybody that went out and voted.
Yeah, that would be what, about 1 in 8?
Yeah, a pretty low turnout, I heard.
Yeah, yeah. You ready for your question?
Yeah, I won't know it, but sure, I'm
all
ready.
Right.
I haven't gotten one yet.
During the American War of Independence, which country contributed the most soldiers to fight alongside the British?
Well, I would think the U.S. of A., but I'm not sure. I know the French and the British weren't getting along very good.
I think you got it right first.
Yeah, okay.
Your first reference.
USA, yeah.
The country that contributed the most soldiers to fight with the British against Washington was America itself.
Yeah. Well.
By 1779, there were more Americans fighting alongside the British than with the colonists. Washington had about 3,500 troops, but because one-third of the American population opposed the Revolution, up to 8,000 Loyalists either moved to Canada or joined the British Army.
Wow, look at that.
That's even nastier than the Civil War.
Yeah, is that an insurrection?
Depends on who you talk to and whose cameras you're looking at.
That's right. Depends on, a number of factors.
So what do you think about the possibility of U.S., California U.S. Senator Steve Garvey? Isn't that intriguing or different?
Well, that would be, right?
I mean,
they say that Californians are unsatisfied, looking for change.
We're the ones that brought Arnold.
Yes, we did.
And started that whole thing.
And
so
now
they got
a whole movie, State Farm, with Arnold, not knowing how to pronounce certain words, I guess.
Yeah, that's...
Silly.
I was listening to... there's a Jimmy Buffett song coming in this morning. and one of the lines in it is, I can't pronounce my R's and G's when I'm speaking Southernese. I was flashing to
that show.
Yeah,
that's good. Well, it was brilliant on State Farm's part, right?
Putting
a movie together.
Yeah,
what the heck?
Yeah, play
now
with
if
it.
Now they would only offer affordable fire insurance.
Yeah, well, step at a time. Step at a time.
Okay. Yeah, no big deal there.
Yeah. Well, your three compadres all are coming back.
Yeah, we got the board has not changed.
Yeah.
And everybody won handily. And, it's a good board. I think we're working well together. I'll give you yesterday, for example, 4 hours on the short-term rental ordinance. And, boy, we had all kinds of disagreements about various elements of parts of it. Like, should the permit be transferable to your kids or others, when you die or whatever? And I have to say that even though there was really strong disagreement, it was presented respectfully, and at the end of the day, we had a 5-0 vote.
So what was the upshot?
The upshot was, no, it's not transferable.
Really?
And a number of other...
Oh, you would have had a 4-1 with me there.
that's
the argument that was in the Midwest also.
Sure.
About farms. You've got a multi-generational farm, but now the kid has to pay... when it's his turn or her turn, has to pay taxes, capital gains, and can't afford it, and they have to sell the place,
even though
it's been there in the multi-generation.
And, of course, in California, if it transfers hands and the deed changes, that could be considered a new sale, and you could be taxed at the current market
reassessment
values.
And everything. So I suppose that's why you just move everything into trusts and not worry about it.
Part of the vote, it wasn't unanimous in terms of that issue. There was division.
Wait, you just had 5-0.
Well, what I'm saying is that even though it was really a 3-2 split on that issue, as we went through each issue, by the time we got done at the end of the day, it was a 5-0 vote. And I see that as people feeling that they respect the process that we went through and they heard each other. Transferability, if you want it to be transferable, just put a trust together. I know that costs a little bit of money. But all you have to do is put a trust together, and
you realize that now that's two shows in a row we've agreed on something.
Oh my God, Brian! Next time we're in the jury pool, the judge is going to have an issue with
us. We can talk about the judge race too.
But
that's an interesting concept, and I don't know. So by putting it into a trust, that defeats the purpose or the concept of the 5-0 vote.
Yeah. Well, it's why it was 5-0, because I think people recognize that that is an option.
There was an option available.
It's not like it's not going to happen. Trinidad, you know, when they first started wrangling with the short-term rentals, because a third of the town had become STRs, right, and there was no longer neighborhoods, et cetera, you couldn't find people to run for the city council, planning commission. The volunteer fire department is shutting down.
Supervisor?
Yeah, or supervisor. I know there's always somebody silly enough to do that. But the point is that when they finished up their ordinance and they had a cap, there's usually always a cap, because you don't want half your town to be short-term rentals or whatever it might be. And they were over the cap. But through attrition, as properties have sold, they lost their permits. They didn't do a trust. And so it's now down below the cap.
So how did it get over the cap? Was it just not paid attention to?
Usually governments don't respond to this particular issue until it's kind of out of control and it's consumed so much of the community. Or
so
the
neighborhood protesting,
yes,
pretty much.
Yes, yeah. People saying, whoa, what the hell? I don't even know my neighbors anymore.
Right. Well, there are no neighbors.
A bunch of hot tub parties till 2 in the morning or 4 in the morning or whatever.
Well, there are certain benefits to that.
And parking, you know, all over the
yards.
That's
the challenge, yeah.
Just all that kind of stuff. And again,
no. And what about weekend homes? You know, not that Trinidad is, but I know that there are a number of coastal communities along the California coast where people will come in on the weekend. It's their second home.
Yeah.
It's kind of the same concept.
It's always interesting when you stay there and you open the drawer and there's, you know, everything there, right?
You're like,
oh, how's that work? But at any rate, there's an allowance for 60 days, consecutive days out of the year to be able to do that, where people want to, you know, just rent it out for a few days or a few months, but they live there, you know, for X amount of time or whatever.
So buddies come into town. They have somewhere they can
whatever
crash,
it might be. Yeah. Whatever it might be. I think there's some pretty good flexibility. Anyway, it was good.
So
to
it's
get
not
it
a, it's not a business license in the traditional sense of a business license. It's 9 to 5, Monday, Sunday, that kind of thing.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But you know, the good news is now we're actually going to have everybody paying into the transient occupancy tax, and we're also going to know where that's coming from, because right now we don't know. It comes in as a lump sum to the tax collector.
Yeah, isn't that
from VRBO or Airbnb, whatever?
Yeah,
and we don't know.
And they may be doing some audits on the other guys too.
Yeah, absolutely.
That could be interesting.
Audits.
It's 8:19.
Murphy's Markets has everything you need to get through your day the healthy way. From drinks to snacks and everything in between, right now, Amy and Brian coconut water is only $1.99. Brew Dr. Kombucha drinks are also just $1.99. And Annie's homegrown products are $2.49. A 6-ounce Yoplait yogurt is only 79 cents. And don't forget about Chicken of the Sea tuna, 4 for $5. Get a boost for your day by stopping by Murphy's Markets, more than a grocer, your neighbor since 1971.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time, 8:23. We're back talking shop this morning with Steve Madrone. Not a lot of election stuff to talk about, so we're not talking about it.
Yeah, right.
I guess is a simple way. Does anybody know, Steve, how many rental room nights there are in Humboldt County? With these new pop-ups that there are, you've got the branded hotels and the major independents that are listed.
Yeah.
But does anybody know what the occupancy potential is? And then during summertime, you know, we always hear, oh, there's no rooms.
Yeah.
Well, maybe there is, maybe there's not. I mean, if you don't know what your capacity is, all you know is how many are reported.
Now, we just have estimates, but that's one of the good things about the passage of the short-term rental ordinance as it comes into play and everybody gets registered over the next couple of months. Then we're going to have great numbers. We're going to know where they're at and what's going on, and they're going to be paying into the transient occupancy tax, and that'll be a good thing. And then we can revisit the issue of where does that money go, in particular the gateway communities. Yeah. You know?
Visiting. It's going to be a knockdown drag out. Give me a break.
Well, you know, one way to do it is to actually have the data on where the money's coming from and then say, okay, this community, you know.
Turn it back.
Yeah. 30% came from McKinleyville. 30% goes back to McKinleyville. I mean, that would be one fair way to do it. I mean,
yeah, but then
a lot of ways.
You just mentioned the gateways.
Yes.
Oric is never going to have more than a buck and a half. It just
actually, I mean, they're okay. Getting STRs like crazy right now.
Relatively speaking, yeah, yes. But they don't have that many structures.
No, they don't.
If the county wanted to do something significant,
yeah,
there or even further up the road,
yeah,
there's not going to be enough to really do. You know, let's take your visitor center that you are
Vista Point
wanting,
yeah,
and let's move that one just south of the national park, maybe where the fish hatchery used
well, there
to be.
Is one. Out on the beach.
Well, yeah, but that's supposed to get blown up, too.
It's supposed to get moved probably over to the Prairie Creek
site. Yeah, by where going up to Bald Hills.
Yes, exactly.
But let's say that's where the county wanted to put some
yeah.
stuff also
uh-huh.
and really have a significant
yeah.
location there.
Yeah.
Well, Oric isn't going to generate enough to
well,
to make
believe it or not,
happen.
Oric will, sooner than later, solve its sewage waste issue, which is what's been constraining them. From doing any kind of development.
That's the stuff I would like.
Yeah.
not that anybody's caring what I think,
yeah.
but that would be the thing I think that would be long-term tourist serving because
absolutely.
Then you could have a hotel
that's right.
in Oric.
Campgrounds.
And allow that community to really blossom.
There have been many proposals. They haven't gone anywhere because they don't have the sewage capacity.
Yeah, no money.
They have a
for
high
that.
Water table there. So more than likely, they're going to be dealing with a mound system of some kind for pretreatment.
Right.
And that requires pumps, right? And we lose electricity up there a lot. So in combination with a new sewage treatment system, we need a microgrid. Yurok Tribe is making investments in the Oric Valley, and it's very likely that the tribe and the CSD and the community might very well partner the county with a microgrid in Oric. Great place to have it. They've got good exposure
outside
there.
Of the fog line?
Well, Oric actually does pretty
or
good.
Up, maybe up the hill a little
believe
bit.
Believe it or not,
yeah.
it does a lot better than, say, McKinleyville or the Bay. You know, there's a lot more sun in Oric than there is there. And yeah, on the
yeah during the daytime.
Oric,
yeah, I'm thinking. You know, during the
there's
morning.
No sun at night.
Mornings and evenings, Turkey. I mean, I remember coming around the corner there and hitting the fog bank. Boom.
Oh yeah.
And it's lights. Well, lights on, not lights out.
Yeah.
From that point on, yeah, which is
yeah.
part of what Oric
yeah.
is, and
yeah.
that's neat.
Yeah.
But to rely on that solely would be...
Well, there's a lot of momentum for Oric to develop because it's a gateway to a national park. And there are those that some still lament the fact that the park happened, but others, you know, very right-leaning individuals in the community, Republicans, have said, you know, if they hadn't stopped the logging in Redwood Creek when they did, we would have nothing to build our economy on because they would have logged through that in 10 years.
Right.
It had been gone. There would be no attraction for anybody to come or do anything. So even though there was a lot of hard feelings back in 78 when the park was expanded, or even 68 when it was created.
The second time, yes.
Yeah, there are those that recognize that
things.
It actually has created a basis for an economy for that community.
It's just sad that it's taken 60 years.
Oh, yeah, it is. And part of that was the community said, don't you be building anything, government. You know, we're going to take care of all this. And then they didn't take care of it. That's because there was no sewage.
Right.
It's not because they didn't want to. There's just no capacity.
Stuck in the corner, so to speak.
Yeah, yeah. So that's going to change. There's nowhere to go but up for Oric, really.
Or downstream.
Well,
I mean, if we're sticking with water analogies.
We just got a big test on January 13th. It was the third highest flow on record on Redwood Creek.
And it stayed within the banks.
It stayed within the banks.
Did it blow out those stupid trees in the middle?
You know, the stuff growing in the channel?
Yeah.
That's continuing to be an issue that we're looking at. But we're working with the ranchers and all the agencies to pull back the levees, to restore some of the estuary.
Oh, really? To pull the levees back?
Yes.
Widen them up?
Yeah, yeah.
So that would be monumental, particularly with the EIRs and all of the environmental regulatory entities.
Yeah, yeah. Well, we got the Army Corps on board with about a $14 million commitment.
Is this from the bridge to the ocean?
No, not at all.
So it's up further?
It's just pull it back maybe 1,000 feet down at the mouth and reopen.
Oh, really? So it's not even...
It'll reopen up the South Slough, the North Slough, and all that habitat. One person asked me, when are we going to get the Prairie Creek hatchery? Back up and functioning so we can produce these young salmon.
I think Lori Lazio made the final run at that thing.
Yeah.
And was told, go pound sand.
Well, and then there was the guy that was running it that had some otters and some other stuff, cannabis in the freezer. I guess,
yeah, well, you know,
oops, you know.
Don't look too close.
But the point is, by restoring the estuary, That's where you can produce the young fish.
Now, is,
without having to feed
Redwood National Park owns that, right?
They own some of it, and a couple of ranchers own some of it.
Oh, really? Okay, so there's some
in
private.
So we're working with the ranchers.
Okay.
And we're trying to come up with a design that will actually benefit them.
Oh, that'd be a kick in the pants.
Yeah, yeah.
It's 8:30.
This is the Lars Larson Show.
And these kids who come, they become Americans before a lot of Americans become Americans.
Now, here's your host, Lars Larson.
Hey there, it's Lars Larson. Join me for the Lars Larson Show, weeknights 10 to midnight. Honestly provocative talk radio on KINS.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:35. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Steve Madrone. The water situation, or I don't know what, the water system situation, I
water
guess.
Water everywhere right now.
With Oreck has been a challenge forever and ever.
You know, absolutely.
It's
always been an issue.
Yeah, I can remember, boy, Arnie Herskovic talking about some really cool projects, and there was... At one point, there was going to be like a destination resort spa combo kind of thing.
Yeah,
couldn't get it. At that time, I think it was like $2 million was all that. $2 million was the price tag.
Yeah,
and obviously now it's significantly higher than that. Yeah. How practical is it to be able to pull something like this together, even if with a mound system?
Yeah,
you still got to get the drains into the mound and tear things up and move things around.
Yes.
Is the property valued enough to be able to justify the investment that would be required, or is this grants and things
it's
from the
be
feds?
Grants. It's going to be subsidies and grants, like everything in life. Every industry is subsidized, right? You can't point to one industry.
No,
that's
but to the magnitude that wouldn't be necessary to get something
like this.
Because
there's tribal investment happening there, and. You know, the tribes have access to a lot of funding that
That's right. That opens
don't.
Up a bunch of,
So
yeah.
there are a lot of options. And being an entrance way to a national park, that leverages additional resources.
Yeah, you would think that those guys, and I realize that it's not a private entity.
Yep.
But if that perspective was taken to the national park, we would have different signage. We would have different... I guess concessions would be the way to think of it.
Sure.
Hostelry, perhaps.
Yeah.
You know, like every other national park has.
Yeah.
You know, some of these things that are, I guess, normal that we haven't had here.
Yeah.
That,
well,
they would be pushing to have that done in the proper style that they want.
Well, they are.
Rather than just trying to put the fingers in the dike and saying, no, not here.
Well, like you said, you know, this has been an issue for a long time. Nothing new. But there is an increased momentum now. And increased cooperation across federal, state, tribal, and local jurisdictions like the community service district. So there's momentum, and everybody sees that it needs to happen. It's a good place for development to occur if we can solve this problem.
Yeah, I mean,
and it is solvable.
Yeah.
But we need a microgrid to go with the sewage treatment, because when you're pumping uphill, electricity goes out, you've got to be able to continue that operation.
Or just to be...
Yeah.
Independent.
Absolutely.
You know, something like the internet might be kind of cool in that area, too.
Absolutely, yeah.
Just as a concept.
Yeah, well, let's run some lines around, you know.
Yeah.
That's happening, too, isn't it? See, it's all been solved. I might as well just go home.
Yeah.
I mean, even all the potholes got filled. All the roads are in great shape.
Well, that's
now.
With water. That's not with asphalt.
Wait, that's right.
You're going to have to become a very successful day trader to cover this one, dude.
have I got an island to sell you.
Yeah. Yeah, well, as long as there's a bridge to it, then I'm okay.
Okay. No bridges, but nowhere. Right. Oh, boy. Yeah, speaking of politics, right?
Yeah.
So, well, I want to congratulate all my fellow board members on their win yesterday at the polls. It's a great board. I think we work well together. We're getting better at respecting our differences and coming to a 5-0 vote on almost everything we do at the end of the day. And I know for staff, that's huge, you know, to have a board that works well together. And frankly, it's great that we differ in opinions because that diversity is one of our strengths, right?
I just thought if okay, yeah, there's no way you do not want me in the building. I know it.
No, I know.
There are others that don't want me in the building for different reasons.
Well, even the judge kicked you out of the jury pool.
Yeah. I would issue everybody a Nerf gun.
I thought for sure I was going to get kicked out.
January 1st, everybody gets a Nerf gun.
Yeah.
You got an issue?
Yeah.
Meet in the hallway. Nerf guns at 10 feet.
You know, after that jury poll, we met with the DA afterwards, right? They like to, you know, kind of poll the jury and say, well, why'd you do this or that or whatever and learn from it.
Right.
And one of the persons in the jury said, so why did you keep Madrone on the jury, right? And the deputy DA said, well, I got a lot of pushback from my fellow colleagues that were saying, why are you keeping kind-hearted Madrone on the jury? And I thought, kind-hearted? Well, yeah, for the victim.
Yeah.
Not for the perpetrator. I mean, you know. So
I thought that they would congratulate everybody that they got me out of there.
I know. Interesting stuff. Well, the judge race looks like we've flipped over.
Yeah, that'll be interesting to see what happens there. The Measure A thing.
Handily.
Got creamed.
Right, in terms of the no vote passed.
4-1 or 4+
70%.
Yeah. Which was...
Well, you know, and you're going to see there was a huge turnout at the polls in Southern Humboldt. I'm already hearing this, that there was a real surge.
Michelle's
district
race got... It was about 10%. 15% less than Rex?
In terms of...
Total votes.
Okay.
About 5,000?
Yeah, I haven't really looked at all the numbers. I just was hearing that in Garberville.
Yeah, maybe Garberville-centric. Yeah,
right. Not Fortuna. Yeah.
Right. It'll be interesting to see how that plays. Was that a pro-marijuana farmer or pro-marketplace? Or
anti-regulation.
Don't screw with the general plan, land use issues.
Right, not a good way to...
Because there was a reference that I heard and then one that I saw in person saying marijuana first, dairy next. Well, I'm sure that rippled through the Eel River Valley pretty quickly saying, what are you talking about?
Yeah.
And then with Arcata also that...
Absolutely.
No. So an interesting group that... I'm sure came together in with concern about that.
Yeah, because we've heard often, why are these regulations only affecting cannabis? Why not all ag?
Yeah.
And frankly, one of the things I've always been a supportive of is incentives. You know, we create all these laws that bring in sticks and hammers, but rarely do we provide financial incentives for doing what we think is the right thing. And so, you know, Measure A has now failed. But even most of the cannabis farmers I talk to recognize that there are probably changes we need to make. But should these changes apply only to them, which is, frankly, it is overregulated. We don't even regulate our food as intensively as we do our cannabis programs and stuff. But, you know, what I'm looking for is how do we incentivize stuff? How do we, if somebody puts in storage and forbearance, they collect rainwater, minimize the impact on the streams and the rivers, is there a way for them to be able to write that expense off?
Well, can they legally capture the water?
Yes, in California you can. We have a dual rights state.
So it's not fish and games?
Yeah, in Colorado it's an appropriated water rights state where only certain people have the right to collect that water. You can't collect it off your roof in
Colorado. Government?
Ranchers, miners.
Okay.
That's really what created the appropriated rights.
That's where
Colorado
it started?
Was mining and...
Sure, mining would make sense.
Mining and ranching really was where it came from. California has both appropriated rights and riparian rights. So you
simultaneously?
Yes. So you have the right to collect water off your roof in California.
Okay.
And eventually we're all going to have that 5,000-gallon tank in our yard collecting roof water for getting through a drought summer, you know, to be able to water the garden or have for fire protection backup. And the state did pass a law that doesn't tax certain types of rainwater, certain types of water collection as a property improvement. Right, because that's a disincentive. If you put your money into doing the right thing by the watershed and collect that water to minimize the impact on streams, and then they come in and tax you on that, that's a disincentive.
Now, right? why do I hear a parallel when you're saying that with solar panels?
It is a parallel. I mean, there is a reason people put panels all over their roofs. It's called incentives.
And then PG&E raising the rates because they don't have enough revenue.
Man, that's like,
it's like, come on, guys.
I'm waiting for the people in the streets on that one. I mean, when are we going to have a public utility? Not that government does a great job of running anything, but...
Well, the PUC is showing that to be the case.
The way that this utility operates, where people get all the profits, all the shareholders, you know, when they're doing well... But when there's a liability, we all pay for it, not the shareholders. That doesn't seem right to me.
Yeah, you'd think that it would be structured differently. But if it is a private entity versus a semi-public or public-private,
it's only semi in that there's a Public Utilities Commission, but they pretty much give them
carte blanche,
whatever they ask
for. Yeah, did you hear what the last three now, I haven't researched this myself, but I've been told by a number of people that the last three appointees to the PUC are board members of PG&E.
Oh, Lord. Well, I haven't heard that, but I do know that people's bills are doubling. And when your PG&E bill is $500, $700 a month, you know, which is not unusual, that's becoming kind of an average situation for a large, you know, regular household.
Good
that's
thing you
untenable.
Don't, good thing you don't have a Victorian.
Yeah, no kidding, with 12-foot ceilings.
Oh, well, and how many chimneys all sucking the
and no insulation except a bunch of sawdust in the
right,
halls.
Yeah.
Talk about fire danger.
Yeah. KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:44.
Hearty and healthy foods are abundant at Murphy's Markets. USDA Choice Boneless Beef Chuck Roast is now $5.99 a pound. USDA Choice New York Strip Steak, $15.99 a pound. And USDA Grade A Boneless Skinless Chicken Thighs are only $3.99 a pound. Complement this with a Greek salad, now just $7.99 a pound, topped with Kraft salad dressing for only $3.75 for a 16-ounce bottle. Murphy's Markets, more than a grocer, your neighbor since 1971.
Good morning, KINS. News and Information Time. It's 8:49. We're back talking shop this morning with Steve Madrone. So now that you guys made it through the Airbnb, VBO, XYZ, you know.
STRs, short-term rentals.
Yeah, okay, great. That's short for street for me.
It is. Short TRs.
Right? STR, yeah.
Yeah. That is street.
Is there another significant issue that's out there pending for the supervisors? I mean, one of the cool things with everybody coming back is that there's no that disruption in January. Everybody's just kind of flowing and we're back. Yeah, and nobody's moving offices or anything.
Well,
that
there's a sign ordinance coming that certain folks that make their living off of signs are very upset about. And yet the bulk...
The size of or number
just all
of?
Kinds of things, and particularly like replacement. If it goes down because of weather, can you replace it? Especially if it's
you
in
mean
the
like
bay,
billboards?
Billboards, things like that. So there's definitely some controversy around that. But
I thought that the state had a California beautification, go back 15 years,
well,
and that they were supposed to be
So what I was
going to
say
out.
Was that a the vast majority of what's ending up in the regulation that we're looking at doing, which it comes to the board, I think, in April, is state reg, you know, and it's not something we have a choice over per se.
So why are you having to deal with it at all?
Well, because we don't have a good sign ordinance, and so we have to be able to provide people with guidelines on how all that works.
County specific
especially
rather
like
than
the
state?
Electronic signs and other kinds of
Boy,
things.
Boy, that seems to be getting everybody all fired up. I look at it and think, you know, if you can have the equivalent of 10 billboards on one billboard.
Sure, because it's changing.
Kind of seems to me that everybody who wants the billboards out wins.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, I have absolutely no dog in that hunt at all. You know, we're too far off the road to to have it.
Right.
But it would seem to me that that would be part of the whole California Beautification Act is let's do those instead of these.
Yeah, so there's that. And then we're working towards a roads initiative that I've talked about before for the November ballot to have funding specifically earmarked for county roads, but also probably some funding for city roads because most of the tax comes in the cities, right? So
on that same formula you were talking about with the bed tax.
Same kind of thing that, you know, how does the money get distributed, right? So in order to be successful at this, we've got to engage the cities and we've got to be able to figure out how to also add transit as appropriate. We're not going to add trails into it at this point. Trails are actually doing pretty good with funding. As you can see, we're getting a lot of good trail projects
moving
forward.
Lots of grants available for that
exactly.
stuff.
Exactly. Yeah. But is there a need for more transit? Yes. How? You know, like evening runs, weekend runs, more regular runs, that kind of stuff seems important. McKinleyville's so sprawled out that it doesn't work for transit very well. But we are adding some, you know, transit on demand, kind of like a dial-a-ride, but better than dial-a-ride.
Yeah, why not have like a crummy on demand?
There's a van that runs around.
And just have that rather than more of the big buses that
exactly.
are one-third full.
Yes.
Why not get some of these guys that have
exactly
maybe eight seats or whatever, and or maybe get rid of the big buses in favor of the small buses.
Yes, absolutely.
Oh, boy, that'd be heresy probably. You're not on the HTA board, are you?
I am an alternate on the HTA board.
Go ahead. Recommend that you heard somebody in the community make this recommendation and see if you are able
to
walk out of the room at the end of the meeting or not.
Well, and like from HSU, maybe in the evening there's a couple of final vans that actually have a trailer to put bikes on.
Or racks, you know, or whatever, yeah.
Well, you only get two or three bikes on.
Well, I was thinking on the roof.
Yeah, that gets tricky.
Some way to accommodate for
those. Yes, correct.
Yeah.
So I think HTA is doing a good job of trying to encourage more ridership with the new pass program where you can kind of just use your credit card and tap in, tap out, and
simplify
cheaper routes, and you can transfer easily and all that kind of stuff. So
does the state benefit program, I don't even know what it's called anymore.
Yeah.
They don't do the card.
No, I don't believe so.
Because I would think that if they did the card, that they could incorporate transit, and it would be good on BART or SamTrans or any of the public transportations in addition to what Humboldt County has.
Right.
And there's one card, and you get whatever it is, free passes or whatever, boom, across the board, and it's over.
Yeah. Well, they've got new service that goes all the way down to Ukiah, and there's good connections out to Willow Creek that connect up with Trinity County. So you can actually come all the way from Reading across now and all that good stuff. So next time we'll solve all the rest of the problems, right?
Hey. The list is so short. Thanks for coming by, Steve.
You bet.
All right. See everybody tomorrow.